imagine a world where women have a safer space to connect and date, and where men are actually held accountable and always on their best behavior. Sounds pretty amazing, huh? Well, our guest today thought so too, and then decided to create something that would actually make it happen. Our guest is none other than Heather Hopkins, the founder and CEO of Hula, the dating app where every guy has to be endorsed by a woman to join. Hula is the dating app that empowers women to take control of their dating lives and date only better guys. On Hula, any woman, in a relationship or single, can join and become a ringleader and endorse guys for other single women to date. This provides real-world accountability for every man on the platform, making it a safer space for women to connect and date. In today's episode, Heather talks about her journey from being on the big screen to joining the dating scene and how she created Hula. She shares advice on how to raise capital, how to persevere in an industry that you may know nothing about, and how to create an everlasting community that stands the test of time. Whether you're just entering the dating scene or starting your own business, today's episode is your guide to never giving up and inspiring you to, yeah, you guessed it, make your next big move. Hey, I'm Priscilla.
And I'm Lauren.
And you're listening to the Her Next Big Move podcast.
This is a place where we will help you gain clarity on your big goals, break down those limiting beliefs that may be holding you back, and develop a solid strategy for building your dream life and business.
We are going to have vulnerable conversations about building our own business and introduce you to some of the most accomplished businesswomen we know to find out their secrets to success too.
Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired and give you the confidence to make
your next big move. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Man, we have such a fun episode today and such a cool guest that I cannot wait to dive in and learn everything about what she is doing. She is a disruptor and she is really making some waves in the world of dating. And if y'all know anything about Lo and I, is that we kind of started from this world of a dating app, both working for one. And so it's always interesting to see what comes to the market and who's doing really cool things. So Heather, welcome to Her Next Big Move.
Thanks so much for having me. Which app did you guys work for?
Bumble.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that. Okay. That's so cool.
Yeah.
What was your roles there?
So I was a marketing manager for Bumble here in Los Angeles. So it was really when Bumble was like getting off of the ground with Bumble Biz and Bumble BFF, and we were doing so many fun, cool activations all throughout the city. And so at that point, I had hired Lo because she owned a creative agency, still does, and to do all of these events with me. And we just really hit it off. And we loved the idea of bringing people together, community, and the power in that, and which is what led us to Forward Female and, you know, all of the evolutions that it's taken and what it is today. But we always remember our roots there and really just the power of bringing people together and the power in human connection is so powerful, which I'm sure you're really passionate.
It's the best job ever.
You're really passionate about too. We'll dive into all of the cool, amazing things that you're doing now. And it seems like you're a young entrepreneur like us. But what we know is that our journey has taken many different roads, and people would be shocked at how many like twists and pivots and things that we've come up against and learned and done even thus far. So let's take it back to the kind of the beginning of your journey, of your entrepreneurial journey, and maybe just your career journey in general. We like to call it the first big move.
Yeah.
Can you take us back there and let us know a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. So I definitely don't have a traditional tech path that you hear from a lot of people. In fact, I didn't really have any background in tech, but you know, my first big move, essentially, I grew up as a child actress. So I started at 11 years old in TV and film. I was, you know, always in rooms full of execs hearing, you know, you'd work so hard for a role and then you wouldn't get it. And, you know, I heard a lot of no's, but then I would get the part at certain times and it, you know, so I was doing that and I thought that's what I'd do forever. But then around 2016, my agent called and I was so excited because I was at the very final round for this role. It's a really big part. And he said, Heather, I'm so sorry, but you didn't get the part. And I was like so devastated. And I said, why? And he said, because they picked the girl with more followers. And so that's sort of right when social media started to become a thing in casting. And so he was like, is there any way that you can like, you know, this is something I'm noticing is that social media is starting to play a role. Can you try to find something that, you know, get into social media? So it was sort of in the era of vlogging and I was like, oh God, I don't want to carry around a camera my whole life. That sounds awful. And cause I really love like being present with people and having conversations, but I didn't want to have to film everything. So that's actually when I started a podcast, and this was like early days. Like no one really had a podcast then. I remember explaining to people, oh yeah, there's already an app on your phone. It's purple. It's called Podcast. And they're like, what? And so I was one of the first dating shows really that was out there. And so I built this community of single people. And I was, you know, using the apps, using the dating apps, newly living in LA at that point. And that's sort of where the idea was birthed. Mm,
that's
first idea.
Why a dating show?
Well, I was I just moved to LA alone, and like I graduated college a little bit early, so I was kind of, I don't know, like it's not like I had a ton of friends out here yet because a lot of my college girlfriends were still in college, and so I was kind of newly out here, and I was dating using the apps to meet people, and that's when I kind of found my own problems. And I had so many stories, and I actually put out an episode of my podcast. It didn't start out to be about dating, but I put it out with my boy crazy roommate in college. So I had her come over to my house in LA, and we recorded an episode. It was called Boys, Boys, Boys. And we, you know, during college, we would always have these dating stories that we'd sit down on the couch and like give each other advice on. And so I was like, what? That'd be fun to do an episode like where we kind of just do our couch session, but on a show. And that's the one that really took off, that episode. And so I was like, all right, we'll do some more. We'll do some more. And then it sort of evolved into this dating show.
Wow.
Yeah. So originally the app that I originally built was not what exists today. So my very first app was sort of, I found these issues, which was that I wanted to feel safer and I wanted to only go on dates with better guys. So I thought the solution would be, if you video chat beforehand, then I can kind of like vet them a little bit and like feel more comfortable to go on that date. And so my very first app I started was actually around video chatting. So it was actually pre-COVID. And how did I get from podcast to starting an app? That is like, it's so God. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's just like when you're an entrepreneur, it's this thing that you're like, it exists in your head, but it doesn't exist in real life. So you're like, I just have to do it myself. And so that's sort of what it was, sort of this, just, I want it for myself and so many people could benefit from it. And I was sharing it with my community and they were like, wait, this will be awesome. And so, it was kind of like this thing that existed in my head, but it didn't actually exist. And so I had to make it happen.
Yeah. So whenever you're like, you're an actress and you really see yourself doing that for the rest of your life, I can relate, not to acting, but I saw a totally different path for myself all the way growing up. And then as I started to learn more about myself and explore things, as I was kind of getting into, you know, my early 20s and understanding more of the things that made me who I was, beyond just, what I learned in my teens, there was like a pivotal moment, like for me to realize, oh my gosh, maybe that isn't what I want. Maybe what I want is something different. Did you have a moment like that?
I did actually. So my moment was, I was at this crossroads where I know that I'm supposed to do this. Like, I just know, but it's crazy because I had just gotten the big time agent. I just got a lead in a movie. Like, it just didn't make, I was like, but I just know. And actually, the guy who ended up giving me this advice, I ended up dating for 2 years. It was so random. But I told him, I was like, you know, I feel like I'm at this crossroads. And he was like, Heather, like, why do you feel like you can only, like, you know, if you know you're supposed to do this, you need to go after this with your whole heart. And he's like, you can like more than one thing. You can have more than one passion. And I remember that just like shat, like you're kind of set out to believe, you know, oh, if you have a passion, you can only have one passion. And like, you have to only do that. And then once you open your mind, you're like, wait, like, I can have more than one passion. And just because right now I want to do this doesn't mean I have to give up this. Doesn't mean that whole part of me dies. Like, I still love acting to this day, and I still get to do it. I mean, I'll do it for fun now. I don't like do it professionally at this moment, but I think once you get out of the box of, you know, where people are like, no, you must do that, and then you go this, and then you do this, you really, you know, you take the ceiling off, and you can do, you can be multi-passionate.
Yeah, 100%. I remember that moment for me too. It was a friend that I had, and I was working in the TV industry, and I was terrified to leave because it was what I wanted to do my whole life. And I thought that if I left all of that to go start Forward Female, which is actually what I was the most passionate about, and I knew that if I was going to do it, it needed like 100% of me. But I was terrified. And my friend was like, that's not like you're, none of that is getting taken away from you. You still are that person. You can still go back to it at any point in time that you want. Cause guess what? You are in charge of your own life. And I was like, oh, I am.
It seems so
wow.
obvious. Yeah, I know. That's exactly what happened to me. I was like, wait, yeah. Who says I can only do one? Like, who's putting that on me? No one. Like, that's just, the world teaches you things, but that is not reality. You don't have to only do one thing. And I had to listen. You have to listen to your body too. Like, so there was a big pivot. So for everyone listening, essentially I had started this app originally that was this video dating app where before you ever go on a date with the person, you schedule a 5-minute video chat. And so you're more comfortable. You kind of know he's on a creep beforehand. You know, just like a little video check, a little video vet. And so what I found was there was a lot more women downloading it than men. Now, but not, it wasn't enough. Like, it wasn't so many women were, or it wasn't, you know, it was just, I was just noticing a little trend that there was just more women than guys joining it. There wasn't a ton of people joining it, but albeit more women. So then I started to dive in. I started to ask women and men, hey, why women, why were you joining this? And guys, why weren't you joining us? And what I found was that the women were like, hey, I joined this because I wanted, like all the guys suck everywhere and I wanted better guys. And also I want to feel safer. It was this big cry for safety and better guys. And so that's when I realized I had this aha moment where I was like, oh my God, video, having that video chat is just a band-aid to the root issue. We need to rethink this and solve these problems at the root. And that is where Hula Today exists, where you date better guys endorsed by other women. So essentially, the only way that a guy gets into Hula is if they get an invite from a woman. And so every guy that you can see the girl who brought him in, and you can message her at any time. And so it adds this accountability side. It adds this, you know, just guys just act right on Hula. And it's just a much better quality person on all fronts, guys and girls. The issue is on every other app, any guy can download it. And that includes guys who are married, guys who are cheaters, abusers, predators. There's a lot of really bad people that are joining these apps. And not to say that we're foolproof, but having just the mark of a woman saying, hey, this guy's safe and good, it makes such a difference in the guys that are on Hula. And so not only does it attract, it does it at the front kind of curate this grouping of guys, but then inside you will notice a drastic change in the way that guys treat you because you have the option to message his ringleader who he knows in real life. And so having that makes people act right. It's like if you know, if you're interviewing for your job and I have all of your references, well, if you did something messed up, then I could just go tell one of your references, you know? So it's kind of this, like, it's kind of just this real life accountability that, you know, we do in so many other areas of our life, but we just don't do in dating. So we just add that in, and it does make people totally act in a more respectful manner. They don't just get to hide behind a keyboard and have no accountability.
Do you think I have so many questions on this, just so many. Do you think that it's that the guys act better or that you're just attracting better guys in general because of this kind of process?
Of course. Yeah. So our whole community is powered by women. So we have women, you know, to be a ringleader, which is the woman who endorsed guys, you could be single or in a relationship. So we sort of open up this pool where traditionally, once you get in a relationship, you leave the app. But on Hula, we actually re-engage that woman. And there's a whole community inside. And it's just the coolest. It's like they're recommending their good guys that they know, their boyfriends or husbands' friends. It's like such a vibe inside. And yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was noticing that on the video dating app, it was such a smaller scale. Like now we have so many users, it's not even like comparable. But I was just noticing on a small scale, I was like, why are we attracting more women than guys? And so now with this method, definitely we are seeing like, you know, our community just, it's really beautiful.
That's incredible. Congratulations. I think that's such an innovative approach. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, since March, in less than a year, you've hit 100,000 users.
Yes.
That's definitely no easy feat. How did you get there? How did you go about your marketing?
Yeah. So we haven't spent anything on marketing yet. I've spent a lot of time in my career for the past 4 years, a lot of failing. So a lot of experiments that I've run, a lot of things I saw that did work, didn't work. And so I sort of took all those learnings and I designed the original Hula myself. Like I just learned Figma, put it out there in March. I put out our beta and I put out one TikTok just testing, like to see what people think about the idea. And pretty much overnight, not even overnight, like within a few hours, it went completely viral. So we were number 14 in the App Store. And it was like, bam, here we go. It's starting. So it was a really big journey, to get to like the point of launch. So it looks like an overnight success, but it really wasn't. It was years of failing. I've spent a lot of my career learning product-led growth. So I'm a big believer in building products that there's innate value to bringing your friends on and telling your friends. And it's not like this, like, you know, those referral systems that are like kind of janky. Like there's like a reason to refer people and there's a reason to tell people about Hula. And that was what I really was focused on building within the product rather than just spending a bunch of money on Facebook and Instagram ads.
Amazing. So what was it like specifically? I'm so curious because it's like, yes, like a friend tells a friend and like, and there is organic like marketing versus Facebook ads or Instagram ads, of course, but there's so many different options of how to do it, right? You can be doing events, you can be showing up. I know whenever like Bumble was first started, like it was on college campuses and showing up in that way and like going to the frat houses and the sorority houses. Like what was your like strategy? Was there anything like that? Or was it really just like you told one friend that told the next friend that told the next friend? Or did you have more in depth?
Yeah. So it's definitely, I mean, I've just posted my personal TikTok. I didn't have a following when I first started. But I just posted my personal TikTok as the first grouping of users. And then once you get inside the app, there's a lot, like obviously you're adding in good guys that you know. And then you can share your fleet link with other girls. So like, if you want to share, Priscilla, your link of your guys that you endorse with me, then I could like see who's in there that I like, and then I could open directly to the app and go to like them. So there's stuff like that. We also have a quiz inside that essentially like helps you think of people that you should be endorsing that you maybe didn't think of at first. So basically we have like, we take your contacts that you already know and we ask questions like, hey, like if the subway was packed, which guy would give up their seat? You know, Justin, Tyler, both or neither. And depending what you pick, like you invite them to Hula. And so that right there also helps with kind of local growth in each area.
Okay, got it. So it really seems like it was just like you pre-thought about it as you were building the app that you wanted this to be really like word of mouth, like that once one person downloaded it, that would turn into 10, 20 or whatnot. So no boots on the ground kind of marketing. Really using, it seems like, your own personal TikTok and just the app itself. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Amazing. So cool. So I'm curious, now that you built this app, like initially on Figma yourself, which I think is just so incredible. I think so many people have so many different barriers to, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know the right person. And just there is so much power and just like, well, let me just figure it
now
out.
Now it's so much easier to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were some of the challenges that you came up against, like whenever you were doing that? And where are you today with, like, are you still the person that's doing it? When did you know it was time to switch and you needed like the next level of kind of person and that was specialized in kind of taking this to what it needed to be? Because there's a lot of different like things you have to consider whenever you're bringing people together, when you're really trying to solve safety and all of these different things that can be hard for one person to do that's building the app on Figma.
For sure. Yeah. So essentially how I raised my first bit of money was I designed it myself. So this was for the video dating app, designed it myself. And then I raised money off of my designs. So I didn't have a functioning app. I don't know how to code myself, but I was like, hey, here's what it would look like. Here's how it functioned. Here's all my research. Here's this, you know, and I was able to show as much as I possibly could as one person who doesn't know how to code. And then I raised my first angel money off that. Then I raised a bit more for that video dating app. And for years I failed. And for years I was experimenting and it wasn't working. And I pretty much was down to nothing in the bank, almost like $3,000. And I obviously a few months before I had to basically tell everyone like, hey, I can't pay anyone anymore. Like we have, like, including me, like all of us are, you know, I have to cut all burn for us to survive. My job as the CEO is to keep the company alive. We're supposed to be here. We have to figure this out and it's not figured out yet. We don't have product market fit. So I have to make the hard decision, and I hope that you'll stay with me while we figure this out. But you know, I understand. And
man,
so
that must have been a hard, like a really hard moment.
Oh my God. It was so hard. It's so hard. And by the way, whenever everyone listening, like whenever you listen to podcasts, it's like, I like am sharing it because it's past and but it's brutal when you're in the middle of this, like there's so many fires they have to put out. It's so hard. You're like going through panic attacks and like cry, like it's so hard. So I get to tell these stories right now and like be like have moved past those things, but like in the moment it's so, so hard. So yeah, it was an incredibly hard time in the business, and I was just like, I told my team that I was like, you know guys, like I just know I'm supposed to do this though. I just know, like I'm gonna figure this out. Give me a second. So I basically went into my little hole and did tons and tons of research. And I was like, I obsessed over figuring this out. And I went and talked to all of our, like, I was just like, I am going to crack this. And so then I was actually pitching the video dating app to a fund. And it was sort of in the era when I had the idea for what Hula is now in June of last year. And I pitched it to some friends and they were like, Heather, that's crazy. No, no, don't do that. Don't do that. So I was like, okay, whatever. Threw it away. Didn't even think twice about it. Then I'm pitching this fund. I'm like, you know, we do have some of these things, but I'm going to figure it out. And they're like, Heather, like what's your idea of how to get out of the too many girls on the video dating app? Like what ideas do you have? And I started telling them my ideas and they're like, nah, nah. And then they're like, you got anything else? And I was like, all right, I'm just going to pitch this idea that my friends hated. I'm just going to do it. So I was like, what do I have to lose at this point? Literally nothing. I'm making zero, like, let's go. Why not? So I was like, all right, I have this idea. It's crazy, I know. Probably is so stupid, but I'll just tell it to you guys. Here we go. And they're like, wait, that's something. Come back to us and present that and let's talk more. So I was like, oh God, okay. So then I designed it, did the same thing. And they were like, all right, if you make this reality, show us some traction, there's a high possibility that we'll jump in on this. And I was like, okay. So I go back to my like two people that stayed on the team. I was like, guys, I know I can't pay you right now. And please, I believe that this is going to work. I really, really believe it. And if we can show some traction, we're going to get this done. And they were like, all right, Heather, we believe in you. We'll do it. And I'm like, okay. So in January of this year, we were like, let's go, let's build this. So we spent February, March. So we literally were like put out the beta in March thinking like, let's just like see what friends and family say. And I put out one TikTok just testing the idea with people, and it went viral immediately. I called up the fund. I was like, I need money now. Like right now, our servers are going to die. I need money immediately. Wow. And you know what? They pulled through.
Wow. Amazing.
So, yeah. Then
I think that's the power of relationships. It's the power of going for it. It's the power of sticking to something and pivoting and not being afraid to just fall flat on your face and then just pick yourself back up. And the power of leadership too is the other thing that I hear, of being able to show up as a leader and as the CEO and have those hard conversations with a team and let people go and go through that.
So hard.
But also it reminds you in those moments of who is really with you on this journey, who's willing to stick through it.
And by the way, most of our team did stick through it, which I'm so grateful for. I mean, our team was so small. I'm just so thankful. And because they stayed, I actually backdated their pay once we raised.
Wow.
So they were pretty happy about that. But sometimes I think what people don't realize is, for example, Hinge took 7 years before you ever heard of them. Really, before they ever got real traction. Most apps, Bumble's a unique story because obviously they got $10 million right off the bat, and it's just a much different, she came from Tinder. But most of the dating apps that are, in existence, they had a lot of years of failing. And it's just one of those things that if you know you're supposed to do it, and this goes with anything, you will figure it out, but you have to you have to be relentless and super resilient and become a scientist. And just because something doesn't work doesn't mean that your whole business is done and in the trash. Just keep learning, keep talking to users, keep getting to the bottom of things. And there's still so many things that we have to do, and I have to keep being a scientist on. But yeah, it takes years to crack it.
That's being entrepreneur, right? Yeah, being an entrepreneur is being a problem solver. I think you talked a lot too about getting to this year, 2023, and getting to the point of then calling up the investors that we need money right now. And being in this kind of world of raising money for your company, and I'm sure you're going to be there probably time and time again now. How has this process been for you? What have been some learning lessons that you've had through it? And maybe specifically as a woman going through it, which is what we see all the time being, even more challenging.
It definitely is more challenging, period. You're going to have to work twice as hard, show twice as much, the traction. It's absolutely crazy. The expectations when you're a woman are way higher, period. But that doesn't scare me. That's the way it is. You can't I look at being a woman as a superpower, and that's all I can look at it as. I can't change that. I'm a woman and I'm so proud to be one. And all you can do is take the cards you're dealt with and make the most of them. And so there's definitely protocol that I put in place to make for safe investor meetings and make sure you're in safe situations. But I think that's how we always have to think, everything.
What are some of those protocols that you've put into place be helpful for others?
I won't do any drinks investor meetings. I won't do any dinner investor meetings really, unless a group of people. I don't text really. Everything's mostly over email. Those are pretty much general. Obviously, anytime I feel iffy or off about something, nope, I won't do it. Won't do the deal. Will not talk to the person. That's just the way it goes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I'm really big on, I think I build for long game, So sure, there might be some slimy money that's easier, but absolutely not. I want to always look back on my company and feel proud, be like, yep, I listen to my instincts. I feel proud of everything. And I think the only way to do that is by listening to your instincts. And so that's how I've always built my business. So that's how I'll continue to build it. And that's what's got me this far. But another I don't remember what you're saying next, but yeah.
Just on fundraising in general, kind of like, how has that been like for you, and what have you learned like through it? You've clearly, I think it, everything that you just said is anybody that's thinking about going at fundraising, it's really, really important things to consider and to think about and to have top of mind.
Yes.
Your personal experience through it though, how has that been? How much have you raised?
Yeah.
How much like do you, are you currently like raising? Like what, tell us, fill us in a little bit there.
Yeah. So, you know, in the beginning, I raised $1.6 million for the video dating app. And it was very, very hard. It was COVID. I obviously, you guys heard my story. I didn't come from a technical background, didn't come from a wealthy family. I use LinkedIn and Crunchbase, and I was just cold messaging people on LinkedIn. I haven't met majority of my people, of my investors. So I've raised over $1 million from LinkedIn cold DMs. You just got to make it do it. Like your car, you are who you are. You just make it. Now you just make it happen. So I DM people. I got them on Zooms. I met as many people as I possibly could from my computer. And then, you know, how I raised my next, or how I met the investors for the next sort of bit that I raised was, I was at LA Tech Week and I wore a backpack that I got from Amazon, and on the backpack, it's an LED backpack. So you can write whatever you want through an app. So, it said, never go on a bad first date again. And then the investor came up to me, he's like, what is this backpack about? This is so cool. And so then we got to tell him about my business. At that point, it's a video dating app. And then he's like, oh, I'd love to like, you know, meet and hear more. We met over Zoom, met his whole team. And then that's when I sort of was like, all right, I'll tell you guys this crazy idea. And that's sort of what brought me to raising the next bit of money.
Wow. So did you just raise, that's amazing. One of like the creativity, like the backpack of like, you need to like send like a million like people out in the world with these backpacks now.
Know. They're amazing.
It's the thing.
That's my networking hack.
Yeah. 100%. I was thinking of, I was watching a TikTok the other day about Sarah Blakely and how she had, you know, whenever she was just getting started, got her black t-shirt ironed on Spanx logo and gave it to all of her friends and family. And she still wears that Spanx shirt today. I'm like, these backpacks are going to be everywhere for Hula. But,
it's great.
Exactly. So whenever you met, so now in the next iteration of Hula, of what really it is today, kind of raising the money for that. What is kind of the roadmap that you're seeing like for Hula, and what do you anticipate the needs are going to be in order to do that?
Yeah. It's so exciting. Like, I don't know. It's just so, it's like the best feeling ever when, you know, you work so hard on something, and like, I've always known, and like seeing now people, like there's so many people dating because of it, and like they're meeting better guys, and like that's literally what I've given up so much of my life for people to do. And and it's very much the whole product is very much very meaningful to me, especially because of I was sexually assaulted from a guy from a dating app. And so like for me, this is, I don't know, it's like so much bigger than, I don't know, it's just so special. It's like,
You never want somebody to like go through that ever again. Of course, none of us do. I think I was talking to somebody the other day of like, they were trying to understand mission, right? Of like, how do you really understand like what your mission is, like what your business's mission is? And they were like, what's the thing that just pisses you off the most? And it's like, and go after like solving that thing because you have so much like passion behind it.
Yes.
And being like, I think we can all probably agree, like it probably pisses us off. It makes us really upset and angry that women have to go through that. And that's a pretty strong mission
that
to have as a company that can push you through.
And I just like think, wow, like what we're doing is going to be the reason why so many women don't have to go through the trauma that I went through. And that, like, I don't know, that just makes, that makes every like battle, every fire I have to put out, that makes everything worth it. So for me, it's like our whole mission is bringing people safe guys, better guys, and being the safest dating app for women. And so everything that we do is really geared in that direction. And, you know, there's different communities also that will use the same system, maybe not the same way that Hula currently is. So, you know, we have plans to do an LGBTQ version because there is those own this, there's this power of these endorsements that really do make a difference in keeping people safer. And so that's something that we're going to do. We have a lot of plans. We have so much demand for international expansion. Obviously within the product, we have like some crazy stuff, you know, right now, like the current existing product, we're doing a lot of experiments and doing a lot of things to kind of we just launched a gifting side, for example, which is really innovative and cool. And what that is essentially like, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but on Hinge, you can send roses, for example, and it's $3.33 to send a rose to someone to make your like stand out. On Tinder, that's $18.99 a week to send a super like. And so what we do is I say, hey, that's kind of messed up that, you know, Lo is the one, this beautiful girl, and they're trying to stand out to Lo, but then the business gets all the money for Lo's like. That doesn't seem right. And so our whole thing is we're like, hey, no, we want to give that to the user. So we actually have a whole gifting side. So you actually get value for that, these gifts that you get sent, these virtual gifts that you get sent, and you can redeem it with our gifting partners. So we have everything from like Kendra Scott jewelry to Milk Bar cakes to Malin and Goat soap. Like, I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of gifts on there that guys or girls, whoever gets
sent
the gifts.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Yeah. You're like, I don't want a virtual
rose.
Yeah,
exactly. Like,
I want earrings.
Like, sure, you can send me a virtual rose and you can send out, but then let me redeem it for something real. Like, I'm like, when you're out at a bar, you know, yeah, and someone wants to stand out, they're like, oh, like, let me get you a drink. And it's like, okay, you get to enjoy that drink and be like, why does the business get to have all that? Why? That doesn't make sense. So
yeah,
we have a lot of innovative stuff. And then like the more that you endorse good guys, you actually get more of those virtual, it's called diamonds. So that's our like currency. So you'll get diamonds and then you can redeem that on our gifting platform. So there's like so much that we're doing. I mean, obviously these are all experiments. Like we launched that one a few days ago just to see, you know, how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's like you just put it out there.
So the current product.
And you have to like see.
Yeah. So the current product is a lot of like, you know, we've definitely found product market fit. We have thousands of people joining every day with, we still haven't spent anything on marketing. So that's something that we will eventually do. But as of right now, we're really just like experimenting inside the product. And then there's going to be a point where we do start to launch the different entities of it, which is, you know, these other communities that we'd like to launch into as well.
So incredible. What is the revenue, because the revenue stream for you though, like what is the revenue model of Hula and is there one at this moment? Because a lot of companies start, there isn't necessarily one. It's just really building up the user base and then deciding what that's going to be maybe later on. What do you kind of, do you have that in your sights right now?
I do. I have always been, maybe I'm a little, I mean, I'll get pushback from investors on this and I'm like, okay, but some of them are, you're either this side or the other side. So I am pro, like some investors are like, no, everything should be free. Like run up, you know, just everything's free. And who cares about revenue? Where I'm like, hey, you know what? Like you like at the end of the day, it is a business. And like, we do have to spend a lot to pay all of our people. And this is a service that we're providing. And so I want to, yes, of course, we're freemium where people can, you know, go on it for free, but I want to also add in things that do have value to upgrade. And so, yeah, to me, I'm under the inclination that you can still be an amazing product and still get so much use out of it for free. But then if you would like to, you should be able to, you know, I do want to, you know, it's a business. I would like to bring in some revenue and that helps all of us. And so, that's definitely something that we have currently. We have subscriptions. So if you would like to go on free, you can, and you'll have an amazing time. But if you'd like to upgrade that experience and get some pro features, there's even more on that. And then with the gifting side, we have rev share with the gifts. So whatever you buy, so like if you got Kendra Scott earrings like I got, then I would actually, you know, there's partnerships in line where we get a cut of that.
I think I'll be able to enjoy it too, because I can come on and endorsing all of these guys out there. It's been my,
help us out, Priscilla.
100%. It's always been the thing. Even whenever I was at Bumble, I could only use the biz side of it because I've been with my partner since before dating apps. So I've always been like, you know what, girls? I know it's hard out there. Like all of my girlfriends, I'm like, I know it's hard out there. And they're like, but how do we find them? I'm like, I don't know.
Now you endorse them.
Now we know.
It's so easy. This is so beneficial for guys too, because first of all, the women on there are like, we're known to have a very attractive user base. might I add, because you know, the women like care about their safety and they respect themselves. And then the guys who are on there, because on other apps, like it's mostly guys on there, by the way, Tinder's 90% men. So you being a better guy, you are going to, first of all, having a cute girl that's like, hey, he's great. And like that already makes you much more attractive, be a safe guy. But also like you're gonna have a lot more success on Hula because the women are, you know, it's just, you're in a pool that's more curated of guys.
Yeah. 100%. I love it. There's been so much, to your story, I think, that so many people can take away from. And as we end here today, is there any advice now with everything that you know and everything that you've been through, at least thus far, that you would love to tell young Heather? And maybe young Heather could be any entrepreneur out there that's thinking about going down the path that you've been on.
I would say, listen to your instincts, no matter how crazy they are. If you know in your heart you're supposed to do something, you will make it happen.
Oh, I
period.
Love it.
I was like, do
period.
I want to add more? I was like,
period.
No, that's it. Just go. Go, girl.
Period. love it. Well, thank you so much, Heather, for coming on
Thanks, guys.
Good Move. We can't wait for everybody to continue to cheer you on. And we know we'll be there every step of the way, building our fleet and helping women everywhere.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
That concludes this episode of Her Next Big Move podcast. Everything that we discussed in today's episode and for more information on Forward Female can be found in the show notes below and on our website, forwardfemale.com.
We want to thank everyone who helped this episode come together and you for tuning in.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and come hang out with us on our socials.